Awesome. Well, we are continuing in our activation series, which we've honestly been talking about for a while, but we felt like we needed to get through a few series before we kick you guys out into the world and say, get after it. And so I'm excited today to talk about spiritual authority. So building up to this activation series, we, if you guys remember, the last 24 months, we have walked through the spiritual disciplines two or three times maybe. PhD, which is the prophetic healing and deliverance, we did that twice. And on that, guys, by the way, if you guys are encountering that in your life of having to deal with deliverance and healing and prophecy, highly recommend going back into April when we did that again. And there was just a lot of really great practicals. So any of this stuff that you feel like you might be a little bit shaky on, definitely go back into the archive and listen to some of these messages again. We did the James series, and then we did practicals of our faith, and then going into this activation. So taking time to walk this out, and our desire is to foster a healthy and growing body. What we want is we don't want a church full of staff that are really healthy and then a bunch of people that come and show up barely making it through the door and saying, I just want a little bit of taste what you got, but you guys got it, you're doing good, and then go back into our lives. We want to see people that are walking this out daily in their lives so that people are transformed, right? Because that's the only reason that we're here on earth and not with him in heaven, is to bring the kingdom to the darkest places, to be the light into the dark. And so this is a big part of it. Our mission in this body, and I don't know how many people know about this because we haven't said it in a while, the mission of this house of Restoration Fellowship is to gather, equip, and commission disciples of Jesus out into the world. Okay? So a part of this is we have to learn what it means, but first we have to be together. We have to be together. We have to learn and sharpen each other. There's things that you guys are going to bring that is going to teach me, and I'm going to bring things that teach you. And that's the goal, right? It's not a one way. It's you guys are going to give back. And whatever the Lord is receiving in a revelation or questions that might be a little bit different than how we see things. But as we do this, as we walk out our mission as being kingdom people to gather, equip, and commission disciples of Jesus, that we're walking in power and in authority of Jesus, right? Because the difference that we have in our religion compared to other current world religions, there's really two main things. Number one is that we're the only religion that gets a personal relationship with the deity that we worship. That's huge, right? The number two is that our scripture says that unless power accompanies what these people are saying, don't even believe them. They're telling other people. They're like, if these guys aren't walking in power, don't even believe them. And for me, that's scary because I don't know about you guys, but walking in this Western world, there's not a lot of spiritual power that I get to see in my day-to-day life, and that is concerning. And we're a little bit behind the eight ball being in a Western culture because we are so wealthy, and I know a lot of you are like, God, Rory, whatever. We are so wealthy as a nation that we do not experience need in our lives, and therefore, we become our own gods. We are walking in the spiritual authority of me. I can make more money. I can address my budget. I can buy food. I can. And we don't have a need for God naturally. And so that puts us in a place that it's a lot harder to talk about spiritual authority and to walk out the power of God. But guys, it is required for us to be Christians that are healthy to walk in power. Spiritual authority is putting into action our lives to subdue the earth. It is to look like Christ. That's what this is. It is to bring heaven to earth, and it's to be fully manifested sons and daughters. And to walk as sons and daughters of the King, that is the greatest thing that we can do, right? The King of Kings, which means that there are other kings, right? That's his name, King of Kings. There are other kings. We serve the one that rules over them all. He is the King of the universe. He is the greatest king of all times. And he rules over, and we get to be sons and daughters of him. So that means our authority is placed over the other kings. But we don't walk it. I don't walk that out in my life. And how I see it is that we have two choices. We can either walk and pursue this further, right? We can say, I am a son and daughter of the King. I'm going to walk deeper into this authority, or we can choose to be passive and say, I have my ticket, I'm getting into heaven, I'm going to show up on Sunday because that's what I'm supposed to do, I'm good. Right? So we're not talking about salvation today. I'm not talking about we have to do this in order to be saved. You got the ticket, right on. Is that enough for you? That is not enough for me because I am called to something higher. It is better that I stay here to serve Christ than to be with him right now, because that's my purpose, to glorify his name, to expand the kingdom, okay? So let's talk about it. What does it mean to be a son and a daughter of the king? So the last couple of weeks, we talked about the story of the prodigal son, really the story of the two sons. And the more we're getting into this, the more that we're realizing this. So you have one son that went away and realized it's better for me to be the lowest of low under the authority of my father's house than to be out in the world. So he understood the authority, and he says, Dad, I just want to be, just let me be in the house, and I'll be good because of your authority. There's a protection that the father has. And then you have this other son that has lived and walked with the father and said, Dad, I expected you just to hand this to me, but this bozo shows up after being away, and you throw him a huge party. And it's because he realized his authority. You've had everything the whole time, son, but you have not reached in and grabbed it. Spiritual authority is like having a bank account. So you have received a bank account. Bethany, you now have $1 million in the account. Awesome. Bethany's a millionaire. However, she has no idea how to access it. Is it worth anything? No, because she doesn't know how to access it. And so there's this thing of the withdrawal of the authority, because God said, you are sons and daughters. Can we agree on that? Okay, we are sons and daughters. That means we are heirs of the inheritance of all things. He is the master with a cattle on 1,000 hills. He has all resources. He has all things, all power. But if we cannot access it, then it means nothing. Okay? So it's like this, is as we're adopted, right? We have this adoption into the family. But let's say that we adopted a baby. And this is, again, an inheritance. They have theirs. Would I send even my 5-year-old out to do my business or to drive my car right now? Would that be wise of me as a father? No, but he's got it, right? Like he is going to inherit, let's just take my son Koa. Koa is going to inherit what I have one day, and if he asks for it, it's his. But I am definitely not handing him my keys, and I am definitely not him letting him negotiate a contract for me for my business, okay? But I am training him now. I'm saying, Koa, these are the things that you need to do. You're in kindergarten. I need you to learn math. I need you to read. I need you to do all these things that are elementary. And one day, if you show that you're a good steward of what I have given you, it's going to be school. It's going to be your chores. One day, I'm going to hand you the keys to the truck. And you're going to go do things for me. And when you're in my truck, that means that I have given you authority to do that thing. And so in my business, if I do that, and say, I need you to go do this on my behalf. I have equipped and I have trusted because I'm sending them out, okay? So we are like children that we walk in a stage of, are we there or are we not, okay? And if you're not there, don't worry, you're gonna get there. Okay, so that's this idea of that we work into our authority even though that we received it in its fullness. We have the bank account. We got to learn how to withdraw. So sons and daughters, we walk and we're supposed to walk in grace and in love. And we see this theme throughout Scripture, specifically in the Gospels. When Jesus was moved to compassion, things started happening. Okay, so we see Mark 1 where it's talking about the leper and it says that Jesus was moved to compassion and then he healed. We see this throughout of feeding the 5,000. We see healing the blind, that this authority is a lot of times tied to love and it's tied to looking to the Father. And so I just want to set this foundation of, as we're talking through authority, we're not talking about authority that comes in guns blazing and saying, I have authority, this guy said I could be here, so you better deal with it. It's, we are coming in low, because that's the kingdom way, that we walk in love and we walk in grace. And that is the foundation of authority. And honestly, that's the foundation of our Christian life. Okay? Mark 12, 28. We're going to crack the Bible today. So Mark 12. And if you guys need time to turn. Oh, yeah, Alan's got it. Jeez, man, you're so good. Did everybody read that poem that was written about Alan this week on Faith? Did everyone see that? I saw that. God, that was so good. Search for it. Alan, Kim, you should print that out. Hang it in a frame. All right. So Mark 12, verse 28. So the one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first of all the commandments? Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandments greater than these. So we start out this authority of, as sons and daughters, we should know the most important two things on our father's list, right? So we're walking in this thing of, we are encountering Father in love, and then we're encountering each other in love as well. And this is the place where we move in authority. And I've seen that so many times of the people that walk in the greatest power of healing, they love better than I've seen anyone love. And it convicts me every time I'm around them. If they show up, like Heidi Baker's a great example. She heals everybody that she encounters as deaf. I've never seen, when I was there for the 3 months, we didn't see one deaf person not healed. And she loved better than anyone that I've ever seen in my life. And so we say that, we're like, man, I want that. I want it. Anybody that I encounter with deaf ears, I want the power to heal them, right? But what we want as well is that foundation of love. If we don't have that foundation of love, we are not going to be given the keys to the truck, okay? And this is tied to obedience, right? John 14, 15, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. So we are rooted in love, and then we are then equipped through obedience, okay? This isn't from us, this is from him. So the service, and this is not a domination as we're walking in this authority, and he redefines, Jesus redefines authority, and it contrasts it with the worldly rulers. If we see these kings and we see this entitlement, we're seeing it right now in England, right? Of like the royal family is such a mess where there's expectations of how they're supposed to live their lives. And when you don't, you're out. But for us, we are to be rooted in love. We're to be a servant of all. We are to be ones that seek last, right? That's what it says. It says, if you seek to be first, you're going to be a slave. But if you go low, I'm going to exalt you above all. And so that's what we are to be, to love and to go low. All right. This is the next crazy one. So does the darkness and the satanic realm know your name? Who can just answer confidently that they, boom, all right, I love it, because you know it. When those that know, they're going to be confident in that. And I want us as a body, I want me, myself, I want to be confident that Satan knows my name. So when I start praying, they're like, man, the son of the king, Rory Burnett, he's coming in and he's swinging. And we got to know that. All right, let's turn to this crazy story in Acts 19. All right, 19, let's start in 13. So it says, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists, let's go back to 11. We need to set up some more context. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even a handkerchief or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out from them. Holy cow. He didn't even have to be there. He just said, hey, or take my water bottle and go heal somebody. That was the power and authority that he walked in, was from Paul, okay? So this is setting it up. People are seeing this. And then we see these professional exorcists. some itinerant Jewish exorcists took upon themselves to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the name of Jesus, by Jesus whom Paul preaches." So they have no relationship. It's this guy, whoever he's talking about, we're in his name. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. So these guys are like not nobodies. They are high priests and then their kids. Okay? So, and the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Oh my gosh. So these dudes roll up. They're this is what they do as a profession. They cast out demons. They show up using Jesus' name without knowing Jesus intimately. And this guy beats them up, takes their clothes, and kicks them out of the house. What the heck? How did that happen? How did these guys do this? And it's because the sons of Sceva, they did not walk in relationship with Jesus and look to the Father to get that authority. They tried to use the authority without having the authority. Does that make sense? It's like Koa hopping into my truck and driving. He's going to crash it. They weren't there yet, okay? So there is a moment in time where we have to walk through this. So Paul didn't just show up on the scene and start throwing around handkerchiefs. There was a moment of time where he walked through an incubator to understand the spirit, to understand, he had the knowledge of the word, right? He could memorize it frontwards and backwards, but he had to get encountered by the Holy Spirit to then walk out in authority what he was, because he didn't get to see Jesus like the disciples did, right? But he was gone through an incubator, and they took some men that did walk with Jesus, says, "Take Paul, and I want you to put him through the works. I want you to get him into my spirit so that I know him, that he knows me." You see this in the disciples, that the disciples walked with Jesus 3 years before they were sent out and did anything of authority. You see Jesus, he was in his 30s before he started doing miracles. He was walking through this. He needed to know the Father. There had to be a rhythm in his life that we see today. And throughout the scriptures, we have that glorious gift that we can look through the scriptures and see what they did. But just know that there is a walking and an intentionality where we have to go through and understand and grow in maturity before God gives us that authority. Amen? Okay. All right, let's turn to Acts 3. All right, so this is a story Eddie just talked about. We're going to bring it up again. So I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Acts 3, 1 through 10, this is when John and Peter, they're walking through the gate called Beautiful. They see this man that's been at the gate his whole life, and they say, "Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus." This dude pops up, and he's healed. Everybody's going crazy. How crazy is that, right? He doesn't have money, but he's gonna walk in authority and give it to him, okay? So that's Acts 3, 1 through 10. Now, let's fast forward to Acts 4. He heals in the name of Jesus. The Pharisees come and they arrest him. They said, "Because you're doing this in the name of Jesus, you're arrested. You're done." So he's on trial. They get arrested. And we're going to go to Acts 4, verse 10. So they're talking with him, and then Peter is responding to, "By what power are you doing these things in? Let it be known to you," starting in verse 10, "let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole." Talking about the guy that was just healed. "This is the stone," talking about Jesus, "this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there any salvation in any other, for there is no one other than the name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." 13. "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived
that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus, and seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Okay? So what do they perceive? That they were uneducated, right? So these guys weren't sent off to university to learn this. They walked in relationship with Jesus. Again, I'm going to keep using that word incubator. They were incubated by Jesus in the love of Christ to receive this authority because they saw him do it, and they're like, I can do that. Paul, he heard what was happening. He said, I can do that because of the personal relationship with Jesus and then looking to the Father. So this is such a huge deal because the name of Jesus, and we say this because, like, we don't understand it in our Western culture of the name above all other names. Names held so much power here. Right? Are you guys seeing this? So what we're talking about, when he is the name above every other name, holy are you, O Lord. Right? Or even with our prayer, our God who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. There's this thing of a name that you can basically transfer the name and the word authority. It's the same thing. Under his authority, there is no other authority greater than his, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so as sons, we have an inheritance that accompanies this authority, but even though we've received it, we have not received the fullness. And we are going to be walking through that. I have not received the fullness. And I don't know anyone on this earth living that has received the fullness, and we probably won't until the day comes. But dang it, guys, I want to have more tomorrow than I do today. I want to walk with him deeper tomorrow than I do today. Does anyone else have that? Okay, guys, we have got to get this, that we cannot live in a place that is stagnant. We cannot live in a place of being kingdom people and saying, I am okay with my relationship with Christ right now, and we're just going to put a pin in it. If that is you, that is a dangerous place to be. And we have got to keep moving in the intimacy with the Father, or else we will be destroyed. And I have seen that time and time and time again. When people say, I'm good, they start spiraling. Okay, that was a little bit of a rabbit trail. Let's talk about the promised land, okay? So this is another example of being promised the fullness and saying not yet. Okay, Exodus 23. And so to set this up, this is a story. So they're coming out of Egypt, and Moses is leading the way, and he's encountering God. And there's a couple of times through post-Egypt that God encounters Moses and gives him revelation on the promised land, okay? So in Exodus, and I'm just going to flip there because I think I want to go a little bit more around it. So 23, and then specifically 29 through 30 is where we're going to be around. But chapter 23. Okay. So again, God sets this up, and he says to Moses, he says, hey, the promised land that I promised to Abraham, it's all yours. And even I'm going to send an angel, and you can just go ahead and go there right now. And Moses is like, wait a minute. You're not going with us? He's like, no. I'm going to send a representative. He'll take care of you. So they could have walked into the promise right then, but Moses said, no way. I'm not doing it. If you don't go, I'm not going. And so God says, all right. So then in 29, he's saying that he's basically laying out the plan for how he's going to take this. You've received it all. You've rejected going in with my representative. If I'm going to go, this is how we're going to do it. So the plan is this, is that I will not drive them out from your land. So talking about the people that inhabit this region, he says, I am not going to drive them out before you in 1 year. It's not going to happen overnight. Lest the land becomes desolate and the wild beasts multiply against you, little by little I will drive them out before you until you have increased and you possess the land. Okay, so what he's saying is this, is you're not ready for this. And so if I'm leading the way, it's going to be my way. And I'm going to do this little by little so that you can increase and possess the land. And guys, that is our calling to walk in spiritual authority, is God saying, I am giving you everything, but I am going to give you a little bit at a time so that you can possess the land and you can increase in maturity. Does that make sense? Does that feel good? Not really, right? Like, God, just give it to me. I'm ready. But he's saying, you're not ready because you're not possessing the land yet. It's little by little. But here's the deal. If it happened all at once, wild beasts are going to come in. You're going to get destroyed from the inside out. And what wild beasts mean here is the demonic. If we do this too quick, the demonic is going, it's going to be red flags everywhere. They're going to come in. You're done. But if you do it my way, it's going to be the slow way. I will increase your land for eternity. So that's the question. As we walk into this, is are we willing to be stagnant or are we willing to be moving and taking ground in the promised land? We're taking ground, guys. I don't know if you knew this. Restoration Fellowship, we are a church. You are not going to be able to sit very long in this church. If that's what you're after, maybe try something else. But this house will not let you be stagnant. And that is the call of your hearts from us as leaders. We pray that. We were just in a leadership meeting earlier today. And guys, to have leaders that pray for you guys weekly is something that a lot of people don't have. We pray for you earnestly to get this. Every week we say, God, we pray for the people of Restoration Fellowship that they would have eyes to see and ears to hear, to know the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we're walking into when we pray this and we say, yes, Lord, I want the blessing of this house. I want to walk in wisdom and fullness of your authority. In order to get this, guys, we have got to walk close to the King. That's how we receive authority. That's how we know what he wants is, hey, God, I need a daily stand-up with you to know what's going on today. I got to check in, because if we go too long, we think we know what God wants. We think we love God, but we don't know him, right? There are people that walk in these things that even says, woe to you who show up on that day and God doesn't know you. He says, get out of here. I don't know you. So we have to be rooted in love, because I'll tell you guys this, there is a way to get to power without this, but it leads to destruction. You can have it all, but at least, and we've seen those people where they walk in crazy power and then they fall in sin. That's not this house. We're not doing that, guys. We are growing in love and maturity to then step into that. So on your notes, here, let me make sure I haven't even seen what you guys have. Woo, worked. Nice. All right. So on your notes, on the last page, I went ahead and did the first thing for you guys is I've created a small checklist. You can hang it on your mirror. You can put it in your car. You can take a picture of it, put it on your screen. But the spiritual disciplines, the reason we've hit it, I mean, literally, we've probably filtered through the spiritual disciplines three times in the last 24 months. The reason that we've hit that so hard is because this is a list of things not to receive salvation, but to stay close to the Father, that if we are walking through this intentionally and allowing the Holy Spirit to breathe in it, there is no way we're going to get off, because he is the one that provides, right? So let's just read through this list real quick. So we have prayer, and this is something, guys, adjust little things in your life. So a couple of practicals. Breezy and I, we made this commitment. We work out at different times. And so our commitment is that we don't listen to music to and from our workout. We don't listen to podcasts. It's completely silent. And we choose that 10-minute drive there and the 10-minute drive back, that is our dedicated prayer time for our family and our church, for us, right? So every single day when we go to workout, that's our prayer time. Simple, right? We just have to make time in our lives. There are things that I don't have time to do that. No, it doesn't have to be fancy. It has to be communing and talking with the Lord in the time that you have right now. Be good stewards of your time. And if that's it, or if it's going to work, or if it's mowing your lawn, guys, snow removal's coming up. My favorite. I just pop in some earplugs and I pray. There is time to pray in your day. Do it and you will be blessed. I guarantee it. Meditation on the scripture. Read the Bible. And guys, again, start however it works. I'm not saying go through a theological class and learn the book of Deuteronomy. I'm saying start with a verse, start with a chapter, and meditate on that throughout your day. And when you're even at work, like, I feel like my mind, I don't have any more room in my mind because of my work. But God has expanded my capacity that I can meditate on his scripture when it's like, man, I'm struggling with this. Boom, I remember the scripture that I read that day. Thank you, Jesus. And then get back into it. So having that as food, and again, another prayer that we pray for you guys weekly is, God, may we be a body that is hungering for your word and hungering for prayer. Whoever's hungry will be filled. That's a promise in the word. Worship. Dedicate your time to worship here. Guys, when we show up on Sunday, let's not take three songs to get engaged. Walk in ready to be engaged in your heart, because we have a moment and a gift to worship corporately. But worship personally. Worship with your family and your life group. Be engaged in worship. And I'll tell you guys, I have had more times just weeping and feeling the love of God alone, sometimes mowing the lawn, or sometimes sitting in my living room before everyone gets up, of worship than I have in corporate settings. So you have to have it all. Fellowship. Guys, if you're not involved in a life group, get involved in a life group. Surround yourself with a community that is willing to sharpen you, to say you messed up here, you need to be better, or to invite that in your own life, right? Sabbath rest. This is something from the Ten Commandments that we don't place very high on our list. If we dedicate time, our best time to the Lord, to rest, to put down our phones, to put down our work, and to do things that are worshipful and that are restful, those are the criteria, there's so much blessing in Sabbath. Confession and conflict. This is something that as we are dealing through things, if we have an offense, man, I'm offended at whoever it is, Mark made me mad for something, and I have a responsibility to lay down all these other things that I talked about, lay down my worship, and I got to go reconcile, or not even reconcile, I just have to confess to Mark. Mark, I was offended at you, and I am so sorry about that. That's on me. The offense was on me. But if we don't have the conflict, right, it's scary to go talk to Mark about things like that. What if he gets mad at me? Who cares? We got to do it. We have to clean our lives out with conflict, and confession, so that the Holy Spirit can break in and we can bring good gifts to our King. Service and giving. This can be anything from your tithe, your time, your resources, okay? Anything that it is. Guys, if you're not tithing, you're missing out on a blessing. If you're not giving of yourself in service of others, you're missing out on a blessing. And you're not encountering his heart, right? So these things, if we're giving of our money, then all of a sudden, we don't have a stronghold in our lives of greed, right? Fasting and self-denial. This is everyone's favorite. I know. I get it. No one likes fasting. I'm going to invite you guys in. Monday, we fast as a staff here at church. We have a prayer meeting Monday at lunch, so you're not even tempted to go get a sandwich from Subway. But this self-denial, if it's one meal, if it's just like give something to the Lord that is denying your flesh so that he can speak into you. If you have a problem with food, you should probably have this consistent in your life. Every single week you need to fast if that is a stronghold. Okay? So this is a list. Do not be stressed by this list. There is grace in this. And again, think about the timeline, right? We are babies and we are going to work through this just like Koa. He's going to learn a little math. He's going to learn a little reading. And then he's going to, next year, first grade, it's going to be a little bit more math, a little bit more reading. So don't compare yourselves to others. But guys, make sure that you're moving further today than you were last year. Is that fair enough? Okay. All right. So we've positioned ourselves to look on the Father. through spiritual disciplines. That's what this is for. It's to gaze upon him and to have that relationship that I can hear him because I am checking in every week. Am I greedy this week? Maybe I should tithe more. Am I doing this? I should do this, right? And then we're engaged with the Father. How Jesus lived his life, John 5:19, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son does also. This guys, we're talking about the King of the universe here, Jesus. He lived this way. He looked to the Father. He did not do anything unless he saw the Father doing it. So walking in authority is actually looking to the Father and saying, he's doing this. He's moving over here. I'm going to be over there, right? But the reason that we don't see things happen in this country is there's so much noise we can't look and see the Father. So we're wandering through the wilderness, praying for whoever we want to pray for and doing whatever we want to do instead of engaging with the Father's heart saying, hey, Rory, I have highlighted this person. I need you to go there and do my work. Done. You got it. Okay, so there's all these verses. This is how Jesus lived, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Okay? To Jesus. Guess what? We get his inheritance as well. All right. Daniel, come on up. Let's I want to get some time for ministry. So to wrap this up, the authority of a believer, this is not based on personal charisma, right? It's like, I'll never be like that guy because I don't have the charisma of that guy. This has nothing to do with that. This has everything to do with encountering the Father, receiving revelation, and walking in obedience what he says. And guess what? Just like if you had an employee or a son, you're going to give him a job to do. If he does it really well, guess what? Man, next, I think I can give him a little bit more. But if we continue to say no to God, if we continue to walk in disobedience, he is going to be less and less and less inclined to give us where we were unless we are obedient with the things in the moment. Does that get anybody? That gets me. Because that's something that someone challenged me with years ago. And so, like Breezy the other day, we were in Denver and we got the, thank you, Jesus. We got the opportunity to minister to a girl. And we walked into this restaurant and immediately God was like, I want you to minister her today. And Jesus like, Breezy was like, Rory, I think you're an evangelist. And I'm like, I don't think I'm an evangelist. I am so afraid to miss it. I am so afraid to miss what God has, not for me anymore. I am so afraid that this girl will miss it because I said no. I have no other choice. I am compelled by the obedience of the Father to say, God, far be it from me that I get to the throne, that I get to that great white throne that judges all men and says, I didn't say anything to Victoria in Denver because I was afraid of man. That's what the Pharisees did. In John 12, it says the Pharisees desired to serve Jesus and to profess his name, but they were afraid of the praise of men over the praise of God. Guys, when we walk in the spiritual disciplines, we get to a point where one day we wake up and we're less concerned about us and we're more concerned about Victoria, who we started talking to, and she said, my dad, he wasn't a pastor, but he has served God his whole life. He's going to a mission trip right now in Venezuela, and he's prayed for me always. So yeah, she said it more like, I get this. Like, I know the prayer thing. And guys, we were able to encounter her with a random act of encountering the Father. And most of the time I encounter people, I don't get to hear the end of the story. But now we get to pray for Victoria. God, would you break in right now? Just pray with me, guys. God, we lift up Victoria to you. God, would you encounter her life? God, would you encounter the people that she works with? God, would you break out? God, would you break out in the city of Denver, God? This place that has fallen from you, God, would you
Lord, would you, Father, pour out your spirit in that city? God, I pray for Victoria that she has a history of you, with you and a legacy that has preached the gospel. God, I pray that you would encounter her with your goodness. God, that the seed that was planted today would bear much fruit in the name of Jesus. Oh, guys, are you feeling the weight of this? Guys, are you feeling the weight of this? That the obedience that we walk in, the spiritual authority that we've been given is not for us, but it's for the victories of the world. It's for the people in the grocery store. That if we don't say yes, they're gone. There's been this lie through this Christian circle that, well, if I don't do it, someone else will. No, 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 no. That's not how this works. This is not how this works. We have been given assignments for us alone. Victoria was my and Breezy's assignment this last weekend. That's it. If we didn't do it, no one else would. There are billions of people, guys. If we are not encountering people in obedience to the Father, which I will tell you guys, if you look, you will see. If you open your ears, you will hear that God has an assignment for you today to encounter. Stop saying no out of fear and start saying yes because of love. I was moved to compassion to get over my fear of talking to her about Jesus. And there is blessing for you guys today. There is a willingness for you. Let's go ahead and have the ministry team come up, and I want to pray over this. Something I'm going to challenge you guys with. Let's get a few more people. Quillers, if you guys want to come up. And Jeremy and Heather, if you guys wouldn't mind. Guys, we are supposed to walk in authority, and what that looks like with John and Peter, they didn't say, Jesus, will you deal with this? They told the man, they said, rise up and walk in the name of Jesus, because they had authority from the King. And that's where I want to get to in my prayer. That's where all of us want to get to, okay? Go ahead and stand up. Let's engage with this, guys. Whether you come up front or not, let's engage with where the Lord, if something pricked your heart today, we want to pray with you. So let's get after it.